I don't know if you can remember this far back. Some of you actually don't have to remember back as far as some of us, but do you remember the first time you were able to drive on your own? Right? Do you remember the first trip that you took? You know, when you were able to drive, when you didn't have to get in your parents' car, van, whatever it may be, and be totally embarrassed, right? When you could do that, it opened up a whole new world, right? There's a whole new world of freedom. It absolutely changes everything. I remember looking so forward to getting my license. I'm like, I'm not stuck anymore. Like, I'm free. It opened a whole new world. See, what I love now as a parent of a teenage driver is that it opened up a whole new world for me, right? A whole new world. That means, like, I didn't have to start drive. I didn't have to be driving everybody all around town, right? I don't even have to go for milk. I just, like, give my debit card and say, go for it. Bring it back. Don't buy anything else. I do have to say that. But it opened up a whole new world even for me. We could think of other life-altering events in our life. The first step of a toddler, right? Opened up a whole new world for that kid. But it also opened up a whole new world for the parent, because now they're like corralling all the time, and, you know, they got to baby-proof everything. You know, maybe it's the last time you ever use a diaper as a parent. Woo, right? Glorious freedom. Awesome, 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 awesome. Perhaps, just maybe for you, the life-altering event was a championship after a 108-year drought. Right? Maybe that's what it was. And I love it since then. You know, I'm not a Cubs fan at all. It was a cool game and all that kind of stuff. But you talk to Cubs fans, I don't even think they know how to act. Right? They don't even know how to go through life. Right? They don't know how to go through life without a curse, without that curse, without that goat, like hanging on to that goat. They don't even know how to do it. You know, I talked to John several times since then, and, you know, big Cubs fan, he said he had many tears, right? Just bawling, just like a baby, all over the, just gross, all over the couch. Anyway, ugly crying face. You know what I'm talking about? I made all that part up, but he's like, it hasn't even sunk in yet, you know, because it changed life, you know? They have nothing to talk about now, right? Nothing to talk about. These life-altering events that change absolutely everything. So let's take that into the series that we are talking about, in the series that we are going through right now, because there's a lot of things in life that Scripture speak to. In fact, God tells us in His Word, and what we're going to find out when we get to it here, tells us in His Word that if we can do this one thing, if we can get this one point of life, this one point of faith figured out, it will change everything for us. It's like that first step of a toddler. It is like growing up in our faith from a toddler to an adult. It changes absolutely everything. This one thing, if you get it, everything changes. In this series, we're talking about money. We're talking about what it's like to live the blessed life, to live the life that God has created us to live. And that blessed life is not just something that's so far out there, something that is unattainable for us. No matter where you are in life, it is something that's possible, because that's how we were created, to live that way. But see, I think there's some shifts that need to make. We need to make some moves in order to understand and live in this blessed life, live this life that He's asking us to live. And the first shift I think we need to make is to move from being entitled to being entrusted. Right? Entitled to being entrusted. You know, when you're a teenager, you feel like your parents just have to give everything for you and give everything to you. It's this sense of entitlement that I have. Because I'm a tippy, I get this, whatever it may be in your family. And there's this growing up process where we are entrusted with something. And that changes the way we live, this movement from entitled to entrusted. In the book of Deuteronomy, the Israelites, they had been rescued out of slavery in Egypt. And God promised them a better life. He promised them a better life. He promised them a blessed life. He wanted them to understand that He is for them and that He wants to bless them. I think that's such a huge thing that we need to help people understand. I say this in church, that God is for you and you can't do anything about it. He is for you. He is for you. Too many people in our world think God is against them. And so when they go through a difficult time, they will blame God, but God isn't against you. He is for you. And so God is trying to teach these Israelites that God is for you, that he wanted to bless them. He wanted to give them everything that they could possibly dream of. The unfortunate thing is that they were human. They disobeyed God and end up wandering in the desert, wandering in the wilderness for years. In fact, it took 40 years for them to be able to realize the thing that God wanted to give them, this land, this promised land. They never owned land before, and this land was like no other land. It was a land flowing with milk and honey, and the way I always think of it, it's flowing with Honeycrisp cereal because that's my fave, right? There's just bowls of Honeycrisp everywhere. Yes. It's awesome. But he wanted to give them this land, but they kept slipping back into this slavery mindset, right? They kept slipping back into this slavery mindset, this scarcity mindset, where they never had enough, where their master only took things from them. They had a hard time allowing God to be God because what they were used to is someone taking things from them. And he's saying, I don't want to take something from you. I want to give something to you. I am for you. I have something for you. So he rescues them out of slavery, gives them this land, this promised land, this with everything in it. But before he blesses them, he had to teach them how to handle it. Right? He's like, I'm going to bless you, but you got to know how to handle this. You got to know how to live in this. So he gave them the law, right? So he gave them the Ten Commandments and says, this is the best way for you to live. You're going to be able to live free if you can really understand these things are good for you. And they're pretty good things, right? Like, do not murder. I mean, that's a pretty good thing, right? Parents believe, number 5, is important. Very important. Honor your mom and dad. You know, these are all really good things. He gave them the law so they can understand how to live. How do I live with this freedom? But they kept slipping back in this mindset, this entitled mindset, this scarcity mindset. Rather, God said, and we talked a little bit about this last week, we need to develop a generous heart where we literally live open-handed and not tight-fisted. Where everything that we have, everything that we do, all that we are, we can live like this and say, I, myself, I'm an offering to God. An offering to whoever it is that's in front of us. I was telling somebody earlier after first service that Corbin, our 8-year-old, his name literally means an offering devoted to God, right? So this is hard as a parent, but I want to live my life with my hands open, even with Corbin, right? God, do what you want with him. It's hard. It's hard to do as a parent. But we live open-handed, not tight-fisted. Open-handed, not tight-fisted. And we can do this because of who God is and what God has done in our life. We can be generous because we are grateful for anything we have. We know anything that we have comes from him. See, if we want to move, if we want to make that shift from being entitled to God entrusting us, we've got to remember where we come from, right? We got to remember who we are. We got to remember that God rescued us out of bondage, out of slavery, out of sin. And then we develop a grateful heart. We have to remember where we come from. I want to play this song for you. Go ahead. Now stop. So what comes next? Collaborate and listen, right? Ice is back with a brand new invention, right? Anybody at the concert Thursday night? Anybody here? There wasn't the first service. The I Love the 90s concert, he was there, evidently. Because Corey and Becky, our church planners over there in New Haven, they got to like hang out with him, which is really awesome and really cool. Right? So yeah, Ice is back with a brand new, we get all of that. That is that song, but I want to continue to play this song for you. So you thought this was Ice Ice Baby, right? You thought this was Vanilla Ice, but that isn't really what that song is. Right? You might not have known, like Robert Van Winkle, which is Vanilla Ice's real name. I'm glad he went with Vanilla Ice. That's not near as cool. Robert Van Winkle, what he didn't know was that his DJ wasn't revolving his hook. Right? That bass line, that wasn't his. I really believe he thought it was his, but it actually came from someone else. Some of you know exactly where that came from. Anybody want to give it to me? 1981, David Bowie and Queen came together. That's a powerful little thing there. They came together and they did this song called Under Pressure. Now see, Ice really did find out quickly through the court system that when you want to use something that is somebody else's, you have to pay for it. It's called a royalty. And his royalty sin cost him $4 million. That he had to pay $4 million. Maybe he wouldn't be doing home improvement today if he just remembered where everything comes from, right? We have to remember where we come from. When we do that, we develop a generous heart. And we move from feeling entitled to God entrusting us with what is his. From this entitlement where we say, hey, everything that happens, I have made happen, to being entrusted where we know that everything that we have and everything that we do comes from God. It's a huge shift, but when we make that shift, everything changes for us. It opens up a world of possibilities in your life. Now, one of the ways that God has said, or one of the ways that he has showed us to make the shift from entitlement to entrusting us is through the tithe. The tithe, an offering, is something that is throughout Scripture. From the very beginning, we see this show up in Scripture. Now, tithe literally means a tenth. Right? 1 out of 10. So I just kind of gave you the answer, but I have 10 pomegranates here, right? Who loves pomegranates? Anybody love pomegranates? All right. 10 pomegranates. These are expensive fruit. That's all I'm going to say, right? They're expensive fruit, but they're a superfood. And anyway, they're really good. But I have 10 pomegranates. So if I'm talking about a tithe, how many am I talking about? One, right? One. All right, so if I have $100 and I'm talking about a tithe of that $100, how many dollars am I talking about? 10. See, you guys are good. You guys totally got this math thing down. The tithe is talked about in the last book of the Old Testament, in Malachi. Now, Malachi, this prophet, his name literally means the messenger. Right? He is God's messenger, and he has a message for God's people. Right? And his message is, return to God and he will return to you. These people that are wandering back into the slavery mindset, wandering back into the way things used to be, he says, return to me and I will return to you. These wandering hearts that have fallen away, that have fallen back. God's saying, come back to me and I'll come back to you. Malachi chapter 1 is about returning to God in your faith. And that faith, Malachi says, in chapter 2 is about returning to God with your family. And then chapter 3 then talks about returning to God with your first fruits, with your tithe. And then chapter 4 says, return to God, and I'm going to show you this is how I am going to return to you. So we're going to look at chapter 3 today. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to chapter 3. Verse 6 says, for I, the Lord, do not change. How awesome is that, right? That no matter what, God doesn't change. We change, right? We change every day, but God doesn't change. He says, therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. Because I don't change, you're not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. The second shift that we need to make is moving from reluctance to relationship. From reluctance to relationship. If we want to live the blessed life, we need to remember that we obey not out of duty, but out of relationship. Right? Have you ever, as a parent, said, I need you to pick that up? Why? Why do I have to do it? It's not mine. Why do you do it? Because you're my son and I said so. Right? It's out of relationship. And I love that God brings this whole thing, this whole relationship piece into it. He says, I get it. You have fallen. You have turned aside. You have not done what I've asked you to do. You have not following your statutes. But what do you think I'm going to do? What do you think I'm going to do when you fall? Just go get somebody else? You know, it's like I'm walking with Corbin on ice. It's in the winter and I'm walking on ice and he falls down. What am I going to do? Just leave him there? Right? Am I just going to keep walking, find another little boy and say, hey, come here, little boy, hold my hand? Probably not. You know, I'm not going to say, hey, kid, I used to have a little boy, but he fell. He didn't hold my hand when we were walking across the ice, and so I just left him there. I mean, he deserves it, right? I mean, no, we're not going to do that. God says, I know you've fallen. I know you haven't followed my statutes. You haven't followed the things that I want you to do. But I'm still here. I'm still here with you. You are not destroyed. You are still my people. You are mine. You're my children. Now grab my hand. Follow me. Trust me. I got you. See, when we make the shift from reluctance to relationship, it changes the way that we give. Changes the way that we give because we can start to give out of joy. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart. Like, decide in your heart what you're going to give. He says, but not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Maybe you could say, God loves a cheerful giver. Flip that. A cheerful giver loves God. If you want to live the blessed life, remember, God doesn't want you all grumpy in here. Those baskets pass, you're like, right? He says, give cheerfully. If you can't give cheerfully, don't do it. Because that shows more of the heart issue that he's talking about. He wants your heart to be cheerful. He blesses the cheerful heart. That is why I think he has such a hard time, such a problem with these next few verses. Verse 8, will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed God? And he answers, in your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. What does he mean by robbing God? Well, robbing means that you have deceived in order to receive. Rather than being obedient to the Lord's decrees, to what he's asked us to do, they have made it optional. And they have done whatever was good for them. They have done what was best for them so that they could get what they want. And this is the third shift that we're talking about in this blessed life. We need to move from our tithing being optional to being obedient. Move from being optional to being obedient. See, when it's optional, our hearts start to drift. They start to drift back into slavery, back to the things that held us in bondage. We start to see things that we once did or had while we were in bondage as a better option. God says, stop cheating me with your tithe. Come back to me and I will come back to you. Be obedient. And I promise you, I'm going to give you the blessed life. And when you do this, when you do this, the whole world opens up to you. When you do this one thing, I will bless you. Now, what I don't want you to hear is that God wants your money. He's talking about money here, but what does God want? He wants your heart. He wants you. It just happens to be that money is the thing that we can, that he can judge someone's heart. Through money, God finds our heart. This whole thing is a condition of the heart. This whole thing isn't about money. It's all about a condition of the heart. It's an obedience issue. It's this relationship with him. And in our relationship with him, God says, be obedient. Because in our obedience, we live open-handed and we can let go, not tight-fisted, open our hands and give him the opportunity to bless us. We'll never know what it is if we don't let it go. We'll never know. Never know what it is if we can't let go. So let's recap these shifts, these three shifts I talked about. We move from entitlement to being entrusted. We need to make the shift from reluctance to relationship. The third shift is getting to the point where giving is not optional, but we're obedient. So let me ask you, which one describes you? Which one describes you? Do you feel entitled? Do you ever think in your mind, I earned this money, I get to decide how to spend it. It's mine, I did this. That's entitlement. Maybe it's this reluctance. Are you reluctant? Maybe you're reluctant because you don't trust where you give your money. And I want to say, if that stops you here from obeying and being a part of this, what God is talking about in tithing, if it's a trust issue, if it's a, I don't know that I trust the leaders and how they're going to spend that thing, if that's the case, go find somebody you do trust. That's how important this is. Find leaders you do trust. Are you reluctant? Is giving an option? Is it an option for you? Do you think there's a number of things that I want to spend my money on, right? There's a lot of things I need to spend my money on. Black Friday's coming. Hello, right? Is it an option? Because if those three things describe you, I guarantee this fourth thing is something that's a part of your life, because the fourth shift we need to make is move from maintaining to multiplying. Right? If you struggle with this entitlement, with this reluctance, with this optional thing, then I guarantee your life is all about maintenance. I'm just trying to maintain what's going on here. I'm just trying to get by week, whatever it may be. I just want to pay my bills. All of that. That's maintenance. And if we want to live the blessed life, we need to get out of maintenance mode into multiplying mode, because this is who God is. This is the God that we serve. This is the God who loves you and is for you and wants so much for you. Verse 10 says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I want you to notice what he says right off the bat. He says, bring the tithe to me. Let me tell you a little bit of difference between bringing and giving. So if I am going to lend Gabe my iPad, he would never know how to use it, but if I'm going to lend Gabe my iPad, right? And then it's time for him to, you know, for me to have it back. And, you know, I want that thing back. What is he doing? He doesn't give it back to me because it was never his. He brings it to the owner. It's a big difference, right? We don't give our tithe. We don't pay our tithe, we bring our tithe. Because anything that we have wasn't ours to begin with. It's all His. It is all His. We need to remember where we come from. We need to remember where we come from. We bring our tithe. We bring our tenth back to God because it's all His to begin with. So He has entrusted you with that paycheck. He has entrusted you with it. And He's saying, follow me. Be obedient. In that relationship, be obedient and bring back what is His. Now, where do we bring it? What does this mean when He says to the storehouse? That means to here, to the local church, to the place where we gather. And then the leadership takes that and they decide where all of that goes. Now, we do this at the beginning of the year. If you ever look at your weekly, at the bottom of this weekly part, it talks about the budget. If you ever want to see how we spend our money and the budget, the things that we plan to do and all of that kind of stuff, you can always see that at any time. Just tell me, just ask me, and I'll get it to you. Completely open with all of that stuff. You know, and so you could see it down here, right? We decide, we make a budget, we're like, okay, this is what we think it's going to take to fulfill the vision and the mission that God has for us. Right? We don't start with what we want to do. We start with what He wants us to do. That's how we write a budget. And then we say, okay, this is what we need. You can see, man, you can see. It's never good when there's red on this. It's never good. We have to make choices that we don't want to make. We have to make choices that are hard and very difficult to make, especially when you're talking about people's lives and so forth, and people's families. Well, we have to, right? Why? Because we've been entrusted that everything that comes into this church, we've been entrusted with, we want to be good stewards of, we want to manage it well. We don't want to spend more than we bring in. We want to be the best stewards that we could possibly be. We bring our tithe into the storehouse. Now, I love what He says here. This is amazing because He says, test me in this, right? God, right? The maker of everything, the creator of everything says, you little people right there, test me in this, test my multiplication tables. It's the one time in scripture He says to test Him. The one thing He says you can test Him in is this. He says, if you do this one thing, let me show you, let me prove to you, I will open up heaven to you. You will enter into a whole new world. I will open up doors of opportunities you never thought you could have. I will protect you. I will provide for you and give to you. God says, I've got you. You are mine. We're in a relationship. Now just give me the opportunity. Give me the opportunity to bless you. See, God works on a different economy than we do. It's a good thing, right? It's a really good thing. God works on a different economy than we do. He asks us to bring back a tenth, right? So in here, 10 pomegranates, bring back a tenth would be how many? One, right? So this is what we do. This is our responsibility. So we have all of these and we have these in our pockets and we say, okay, I need to bring one of these here. I need to bring one to the storehouse, right? This will feed somebody, right? It's a super fruit, so it's really good for you. So maybe, you know, it's that much better. So He says, bring this one thing, and then watch how I use that. Watch how I use this one thing, and this is what He does. Wow. He says, you bring this one thing, and let me show you what I can do with that. I don't know if you ever opened a pomegranate before. Right? I don't know if you ever opened it before. It's really juicy, by the way, and I think it stains, I'm pretty sure. So, but if you look in here, all of this stuff, all of these seeds come out. And you eat these seeds, and they're tasty, they're amazing, they're good for you. But what does God do? What can He do if we bring the one and we have all of these seeds? All of these seeds represent what? Look at all that. All of these seeds. What does it represent? It represents more pomegranates. we bring one out of the 10, he uses that, and then he can multiply it greater than we could ever imagine. Greater than we can ever imagine. He says, I'm going to use it for your good. It's going to be good for you. It's going to be good for the people around you. It's going to be good for my kingdom. People through you are going to be able to see and experience my grace and my mercy. They're going to be able to see that by blessing you, they will be blessed. And then perhaps they will come to the point where they see their need for him. See, this tithe, this whole tithe thing, is more than about a budget. It's more than about a church. It's more than about you. It's more than about your heart. Because through your obedience, through that relationship, God blesses you, and then others are blessed as well. That's God's economy. We bring one out of 10, and he says, oh, just wait till I show you what I can do with this, right? Just wait and see what I am going to do with this. And pomegranates are sticky. God says, test me in this. Test me. Test me in this and see if I won't open up. I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven. Tithe and see if I don't show up. In fact, we're going to follow his lead. We're going to follow God's lead, and we're going to test him on this. I'm going to invite you to test God, because we're going to give you an opportunity to allow him to bless you. And this is how we're going to do it. We're going to take the Malachi 3:10 challenge. The Malachi 3:10 challenge. What I'm saying is, for the next 90 days, tithe. For the next 90 days, bring your first fruits here. Tithe. We will dedicate all of it to God's kingdom work. Bring your first fruits here. Tithe. And if God doesn't show up in your life, if God doesn't show up at the end of 90 days, you come to me and saying, Rob, this is the stupid thing I've ever done in my life. I will give you every penny back over these next 3 months. I will give you every penny back. At the end of that time, I'll keep your names, all of that. I'll find someone that knows how to use a spreadsheet, and we'll write your names down. And if you come to me and your name's on that list at the end and you say, this didn't work for me, God didn't show up in my life, then I'll give you every penny back. That's how much I believe and how much I trust in this. How much I trust in God. So what I want you to do, we're going to take our offering up here in a minute. I put it at the end because I want you to take your weekly, your card, the bottom of this. If you don't have that, anybody want one? Anybody need one? Randy has some back there still. Anybody need one? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you need one. We'll pass these out really quickly. All right, we want to give everybody this opportunity. So grab one of these things. And I'm going to give you a minute to fill it out and everything. And then on the bottom of that, in the back where it says questions, comments, prayer requests, what I want you to do is simply put, challenge accepted, right? Challenge accepted. That over the next 90 days, I will give my tithe. And if God doesn't show up, Rob, you're going to give it all back to me, right? And I will be very, very happy to do that. While you're filling that out, I want you to listen to the words in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Starting with verse 7, which we read earlier. It says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart. This is what you're doing. You're deciding right now. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. Listen to this. All grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. That's blessing. As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. And get this, this is incredible. You will be enriched in every way. You will be enriched. How big is this? You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Produce it in you, produce it in others, produce it in anybody this church can come into contact with. It will produce thanksgiving. People will see God. If we can open up and allow him to work. Allow him to work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, as we go into this time of worship, as we give of our tithes and offering, God, as we make these commitments, as we test you in this, God, I pray that you show up in our hearts, God, that you speak to us. May each one of us see, God, that we're not talking about money, but we're talking about a heart that you want, that you desperately want, that you desperately love. So God, I pray, as we give, you multiply. As we give, you multiply. And people will come to know who you are. They will know who Jesus is. They will believe in the Son of God, the one who died for our sins, was risen, and now stands before you. Thank you, Father, for seeing us through him, the spotless lamb. Father, because it's in his name, his powerful name, that we pray. Amen.